Good morning, Westbridge Church. Excited to be with you guys this morning. My name is Skylar Goodman. I'm one of the pastors of Heritage Church in Lake Zurich, Illinois, and I've been a great friend to Jeremiah for many years. He is yet to be a good friend to me, but I'm still serving him anyway. I'm excited to be able to join you guys today and to be able to share a little bit about what God's put on my heart to share with the family at Westbridge. Know that we're cheering you guys on. We're excited about what God is doing in and through your faith community, the way you're making a difference in the towns around you. And we are cheering you on and praying for you and excited about the next season, the next future, as you guys launch into breaking ground and getting into a facility. Know that we are praying for you and excited about all that God is doing in and through Westbridge and the church family there. This morning, we're going to talk about a principle that we've kind of understood and we've known since we were little. It's this idea of cause and effect. Webster kind of defines it as causality. It's this principle between cause and effect. In other words, that if you do X, then Y happens. And we've learned this since we were little. In fact, as we grow up, we teach it to our kids as well. We say things like, when you touch the stove when it's hot, then you're going to get burned. Or when you stick your tongue to a pole in the middle of winter, then it's going to get stuck, right? We learn this principle early on in life that there is this relationship between what I do and then what happens to me. And I think if we're being honest, we often think of this in terms of the difficult life lessons that we learn. But we also know that there's some really good principles that we understand about cause and effect for the positive as well. For example, that when you are kind to others, then they will be kind to you. Or when you create some margin in your time or your finances or your relationships, then you're going to experience less stress. You're going to experience more freedom and greater relationships, right? And here's what I want us to kind of discover this morning. We understand that we live in a when-then kind of world. But did you know that we also serve a when-then kind of God? You see, a relationship with God was never designed to be a one-sided relationship. Rather, God created this invitation for us to join him in this faith journey with our Creator. In fact, all throughout the Bible, we see examples of this connected relationship, that when we participate in our relationship with God, then spiritual transformation begins to take place. And we've seen it from the very beginning of creation when God was designing the way that this partnership would work. And God started with Adam in the garden. He says, when you stay away from this tree, then life is going to be good for you. But if you know the story of Adam and Eve, they can't stay away from it. They disobey God's design. And so then all of a sudden the sin enters into the world and it overtakes the world. And so then a little bit later throughout history, God says, all right, I'm going to wipe this out and I'm going to start all over. And so he says to Noah, when you build this boat according to my design, then I'm going to rescue and I'm going to save the world and we're going to start all over. And from there, he goes on to a man named Abraham. And he says to Abraham, you may be old and childless, but when you put your trust in me, then I'm going to help you create a nation. You'll be the father of generations to come, and it will all start with you. And then he continues on with Moses, years of God's people being held in captivity and slavery. And he says, Moses, even though it may seem like your best days are behind you, here's what I want you to know. When you trust in me, when you follow after me, then I'm going to use you to deliver my people out of slavery, right? And this exact same partnership principle continues all throughout the life of Jesus. Jesus says that when you seek me, then you're going to find me. When you knock, the door is going to be open to me. When you remain in me, then you're going to look like me and you're going to bear fruit. All throughout the Bible, we see example after example of this principle of God saying, when you do X, then Y happens. Now, here's why this principle is so important for all of us. Because if we're not careful, we begin to view the Bible one of two ways. The first way is this. The Bible just becomes nothing more than this instruction manual for how to get out of hell and how to get into heaven. Right, we're going to know just enough about the Bible to cover our bases and hope that we followed the instructions enough so that at the end of our life, we die, we get to make it into heaven. right? But if that's the view you have of the Bible, then you're never going to read it, and you're never going to discover all the things that the Bible has in store for you. Or maybe you just look at the Bible another way. You look at the Bible as this ancient piece of irrelevant literature, right? It's an old, out-of-date, countercultural document, right? We can appreciate it, but we're not going to make life decisions from it. Well, the problem is that both of those ways lead to some significant issues for us. Most important, we miss the fact that the Bible is filled with all kinds of promises for us to discover and to experience. But here's the thing. It's waiting on you and me to take our first step. You see, there is promise after promise in this book of God saying, when you do this, then I will do this, right? It is this invitation into a participatory relationship with our Creator. And here's the thing. So many of us, we miss it. We miss it completely. That God is inviting us into this partnership relationship with Him. Over the years as a pastor, I've had so many of my own conversations with God, as well as conversations with others whenever they hit those moments of spiritual dilemma, right? You know those times where you begin to have some questions in your faith and you start asking yourselves the question, or better yet, you start talking to God and you say, well, God, where did you go? Right? I'm surveying my life right now and I don't see where you're at. And so you were curious, God, did you just forget about me? Did you leave me? Or you begin to say things like, God, I gave you a shot, but you know what, if I'm honest, my life isn't any better, right? And maybe you feel that way today. I mean, let's be honest. One of the great things about Westbridge is that you can process your faith in a really safe place. So on any given week, there are people in the room who love God with all of their heart, and there's others who are just beginning to ask some really important questions. And maybe you're one of those today, and you're sitting here, and there's a part of you, and if you're being honest, you'd say, you know what? I gave God a chance. You know, I even prayed before. I got baptized, but you know what? My life doesn't seem to be any different. And if you're being honest, it's kind of like you've got some buyer's remorse. Well, just as we kind of begin this morning, I want you to hear something really important. God loves you. God has a purpose for you. But you also have to participate. You don't get to just sit back and say, God, do your thing. All right, I'm going to continue to do what I want to do, and God, you do your thing, and may the best man win. No, what God has in plan for you requires your participation, your involvement. Right, and let's be honest, that's the bigger dilemma that we often have when it comes to our spiritual growth. Right, if you were to consider the question, whose responsibility is it for my life to change? Right, and think about that for just a second. Whose responsibility is it for your life to change? In fact, I bet that as you're processing that question right now, there's a few answers that already come into your mind, right? The first thing you may go and say is, well, it's God's responsibility, right? I prayed the prayer. I gave God a shot. Now, God, you need to fix all of these issues that are in my life. But the problem is the moment a circumstance changes, maybe it goes away that you weren't expecting, or a job change, or your marriage stays the same, your kids are still driving you crazy, the Vikings are still losing horribly. You start to think, well, God, where did you go? And you start questioning, and you start blaming God because you believe that it's God's responsibility to take care of all the issues that come up in your life. Or maybe you're kind of in a different place. When you think of the question, whose responsibility is it for my life to change, you actually begin to think, well, it's all mine, right? I prayed the prayer. Thank you, God, for the gift of salvation, but I'm going to take it from here. And so you begin to work really hard at trying to get all of the issues fixed in your life. And you start to think, if I could just do more, if I could just try harder, then I bet I can make my life better. Or maybe it's not God's responsibility and it's not your responsibility because that's just too much responsibility. And so you begin to think that it's actually the church's job to change my life. And so you start to think this way, that if the church would just teach about these topics, then I would love it. Then my life would get better. If the church would just sing these songs, or if we could do these kinds of things, or offer up this kind of ministry or this option, if Jeremiah would just wear a suit, then my life would be so much better, right? And so what begins to happen is we start to think it's everyone else's responsibility to fix our life, right? But the option that God gives us, it's a different one. You see, God designed our relationship with him to be a partnership. The Apostle Paul would teach this principle over and over again. He would tell everybody that he could about this life-changing relationship through this encounter with Christ, but he would follow it up with this, that following Jesus, it's not a solo act. In fact, we do this in partnership with God and with each other. The Apostle Paul would spend the rest of his life writing letters to churches that he would plant, where he would preach the gospel and he would tell people about the hope that comes from this partnership with God. And then he would write these letters back to these churches to kind of speak into the shaping of their culture and the formation of their church. And he writes this letter in the book of Ephesians to a church in a town called Ephesus. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." In other words, you know what Paul is telling these people? Now remember, these are churched people. You know what he's reminding them of? He's saying, guys, listen, you do not earn your salvation. Salvation comes through faith in what God has already done. And he reminds the people that, listen, God is never going to stop loving you, right? There's nothing that you could ever do to make God love you any more or make God love you any less. It's by grace that you have been saved through faith, right? And there's a part of that that we read and go, that's fantastic. But we also want to know, well, what's next? All right, I'll begin my relationship with God. I'll start to say, okay, I am saved through faith. But what's next? Well, here's what Paul says. He says, "For we are his workmanship." If you happen to have a Bible open to Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to circle or underline that word, workmanship. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In the original language that this letter was written in, that word workmanship is the word poema. It's where we get our word poem. A poem is this beautiful artistic creation that is meant to inspire the soul. And so here's what God is saying. He says, that's what you are to me. You are this beautiful expression. You are this beautiful articulation of what it means. And that's who I want you to be. You're like a masterpiece. You are like this beautiful expression that I took so much time crafting and shaping. And that's who I want you to be. When you were at your best, that's who you are. And that's what I want you to be to the world around you. You are my masterpiece. And so God is saying that as my masterpiece, man, I've got really good things in store for you. And they've already been prepared for you in advance. In other words, what God is saying is, I have great things for you to accomplish, for you to experience, but you're going to have to participate in this relationship. And when you do, then you will see God do some amazing things in and through your life, right? But let's be honest, that isn't how we would often describe our relationship with God. We wouldn't describe it as this vivid encounter with God that just completely transforms every detail of our life. Now, some of us would. But there's a lot of us that we miss out on the promises of God that are found all throughout this book because we haven't taken that first step to truly partner with God in our relationship. And I remember as I was writing this message, I was thinking about this principle, this concept. And I honestly had to stop for a minute. I had to wonder, how many of the blessings of God have I missed out on in my life? Because I never took God up on the invitation to partner with him. Yeah, we may be going to heaven, but God's desire for a participatory relationship is for you and I to bring heaven down to earth, to experience what John 10:10 says, life to the full, right? Life overflowing, this Zoe life that says, man, this is better than anything you could have experienced or manufactured or manipulated on your own. But it's only found through me. Now, I remember a number of years ago, I was house sitting for some friends of mine. They were married. I was single. They had a dog that they treated like a child, but still, they wanted to make sure that it was taken care of. And so they invited me to come and house sit. And if you're not familiar with house sitting, let me just tell you what really happens behind the scenes. You are giving someone permission to snoop through every detail of your life, right? And so that's exactly what I did. I had the whole run of the place. I went through all the cabinets. I checked the closets. I tried on their clothes, right? You do all the things that you're supposed to do when you're house sitting. And all I had to do in exchange was just let their dog out every few hours, right? It was a great setup. Well, I remember after the weekend, they came back home, and one of my friends asked me, he said, hey, how did you enjoy the HD channels on the television? Now, up until this point, HD channels was something that was just whispered about in dark corners of the world in my life. It was only for the mega rich. I had heard but never experienced this quality of television that was so crystal clear, it felt like they were right there in the room. Right up until this point, every time you would watch a sporting event, you're like squinting to try to figure out where the ball is and it's moving down the road. And you hear these whispers that there is this high definition television coming. And so my friend comes back, and after the weekend, he says, tell me, how did you like the high definition channels? And I'm telling you, in that moment, my heart hit the floor. I looked up, I said, what? Are you kidding me? You have HD channels? I had no idea. In fact, all week long, I'm sitting there and I'm watching TV and had no idea that glorious HD was just one click away in front of me, right? And as silly as that may be, I can't help but think how many of us are missing out on all the amazing glory and all the amazing wonder that is found in a partnership with God through daily relationship, because we're pretty content to just coast through life settling for analog life when glorious HD is available, right? That's what the promises of God are. This beauty of the partnership invitation is that God is inviting us into our faith, to experience life with God in vivid color. Right, but let's be honest, how many of us miss that? When we think about our relationship with God, would we use adjectives like passionate? It's vivid. It's living. It's alive. It feels like you could just reach out and touch it. How many of us would use those kinds of adjectives to describe our own relationship with God? If you're anything like me, far too often, you find yourself settling for analog when glorious HD is available. You see, this Bible is filled with these amazing promises that God offers to us when we choose to partner with Him. Right? And so in the time that we have left this morning, I want to give you an example of one of those promises. This book is filled with them. But I just want to give you an example of one of them. If you happen to bring a Bible, turn it with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. If you don't have one, I'm sure you can follow along on your mobile device, or I'll just read it for you so you can kind of listen along as we go. Let me kind of set up what's happening here. Jesus is sitting down on a mountainside, and he's teaching anyone that was willing to listen. And as he teaches this sermon, he unpacks all these amazing truths of what it means to live life in the kingdom of God. And so he talks about these ideas of how to experience blessing, right? If you want to be blessed in your life, here's what you need to do. If you want to experience what God is like, here's what you need to know. And after he teaches all of this, he wraps up his sermon with this illustration about two men. Two men who are given the same choice, but their decisions led to entirely different results. And he pulls it together and he brings this entire message to a close, and it reveals this first promise that we're going to talk about for just a few moments this morning. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Here's what Jesus says. After he's given this whole message and shared all this information, he says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them, you're going to be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, well, you're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, but it fell, and great was the fall of it. If you're taking notes on any level, let me just tell you to write this down. If you're not even taking notes, write this down. Find a hand, put a tattoo on somebody, find somewhere to write this down. This is one of the most important partnership principles that you can ever have for your entire life. You ready? Here it is. When you build on the rock, then God helps you have an unshakable life. When you build on the rock, then God helps you have an unshakable life. Right? As you read this story, I want you to notice something. Jesus doesn't say that the man who built his house on the rock never experienced a storm. Right? He doesn't say that only those who do not heed my word are going to experience difficulty. Here's what I want you to get. Both of these guys endured a storm. Right? That's the way life works. There's no magic case that you get. There's no pathway that you take when you become a follower of Christ where God says you're never going to experience difficulty. Right? You're never going to experience pain. Those storms, they're just going to kind of go right around you, but you're going to live under the constant sunshine and rainbows of God if you trust me. That's not what God says. No, what he's saying is, listen, storms are coming in this life, right? There's nothing that you can do about it. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or just preparing to get into one. But he's saying, this is the deal. Here is the promise for anyone who chooses to build their life upon the firm foundation of God and his word. He's saying that when you experience those storms, right? That when crisis comes in your life, then you don't have to worry. You're not going to be crushed by it. And he's saying when you experience confusion in your life, in your job, in this country, when things just don't seem to make sense, you have the assurance to know that you can still manage the storm. Because your heavenly Father is with you. He's saying that when you experience loneliness in those seasons of life, you look around and people broke some promises and you're left to clean up their mess. You look around and your marriage wasn't what you thought it was going to be. People made some decisions and now you're left to live with the repercussion of other people's choices. You look at your life and you want it to be in a different place than what it currently is. And in those moments where you're honest with yourself, your heart feels empty and lonely. What Jesus is saying is when you hit those seasons, you're never alone. That he is with you every step of the way, and that although a storm may seem like it's coming, you have built your house on a foundation that will withstand whatever life throws your way. See, that's the principle. When you build your life on the rock, then you will have an unshakable life. Right? How good does that sound? Right? Isn't that kind of what we all want? The question we have to answer, though, is how do we get it? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Now, look again at what Jesus says in verse 24. He says it this way. Everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. In other words, here's what Jesus is saying. If you want to build the kind of life that is unshakable in the midst of storms and transition and confusion and difficulty, if you want to find stability in your life, he says, here it is. It's really simple. You just need to do two things. You need to hear the word and you need to do the word. Right? It's not easy, but it's not complicated either. And now you may be saying, well, wait a minute, that's not what I've heard before. Like, I know it's more difficult than that. Following Jesus, there's a lot of complexity to it. I heard a preacher once say on television, or I listened to a podcast and they were talking about this. I remember reading a book one time. Listen, I get it. Reduce all of that down. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you want to build an unshakable life, you have two things to accomplish. Hear the word and do the word. That's all. In fact, Jesus summed it up even further. He said it this way. You want to know how to navigate life? Love God and love other people. It's not easy, but it's not complicated either. But if you're anything like me, the trouble is we don't like simple. In fact, if you notice that we always have a tendency to kind of want to do one of the other, one or the other, we find ourselves drifting to one side or the other. Maybe you're here today and the part that you resonate the most with is you're one of those people that you just love to hear the word of God, right? You love reading the Bible. You love studying the Bible. You want more and more information. And so often what begins to happen is we become the kind of followers of Christ who know a whole lot about the Bible, but we don't really know the Jesus that the Bible is pointing us to. And so what happens is we begin to look down on those who do not have that same hunger for the word or in that same spiritual place as us. And we get and we gain so much information, but we rarely actually apply it to our lives. And so we find ourselves saying things like this. You know what? I just wish my church was a little deeper. I just wish that we would go a little bit further and take God's word a little bit more seriously. But you know what? Here's the thing. If all we did was lived in the deep end, do you realize how many people would drown in their attempt to find Jesus through the local church? You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus preached some of the most simple, basic, entry-level messages to the most educated people in the world. Because Jesus understood, you start doing the basics, you love God, and you love other people, your life gets deep in a hurry. The Apostle Paul said it this way, that knowledge only, that puffs up. Love builds up. Now, here's the other side of it, though. Maybe for you, it's not so much studying and reading, but you start to think that everything good is dependent upon us, right? And so we need to not only hear God's word, but we need to put it into practice. That's the part that we start to say, I'm going to take this all into my own hands. I'm going to start doing more. I'm going to start being more. I'm going to start trying harder. And so we start trying to get involved in everything we can in order to prove our love for God. And then if you ever notice this, you start getting mad at other people because they don't seem to care about the things that we care about as deeply as we do. And you know, as a professional Christian, let me just tell you one of the biggest struggles that I have, and I have to remind myself of this all the time, and maybe if you're like this, this will speak to your heart as well. Here's what I would warn us against. Sometimes, if you're not careful, we can become so busy trying to do good things for God that we miss out on getting to know the God that we are doing good things for. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, if you want an unshakable life, you have to do both. You have to hear the word of God, and you have to do the word of God. In fact, I would say it this way. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down. Spiritual maturity is directly related to the length of time between hearing and doing God's word. Now, I'll say that again. Spiritual maturity is directly related to the length of time it takes you between hearing God's word and doing God's word. I know a lot of people who know a lot of information about the Bible, but they're living in a way where they haven't applied it to their life, and yet they would call themselves spiritually mature. On the flip side, I know those who have just encountered Christ. They're just beginning this relationship, and every time they come to church, they feel a little intimidated because they don't think they know as much as everybody else around them. Can I just tell you, some of the most spiritually mature people that I have ever met are the ones who just gave their life to Jesus, who start to read God's word and put it into practice because that's all they know to do. You see, spiritual maturity is directly related to the length of time it takes you to hear God's word and to put it into practice. And so Jesus is saying, if you want an unshakable life, you have to do both. That when you do that, when you build upon the rock, then you will have an unshakable life. And so for those of you that may be new to church, maybe you're just beginning this partnership with God, this is really important. It's not about the amount of knowledge that you have. It's about how quickly you hear God's word and apply it to your life. Take that, write that into your heart. Feel freedom today to know that you're in a really safe place to process your faith. And for those of you who are filled with a lot of Bible knowledge, knowing about God is a beautiful thing. But remember, it's not about how much you know, but it's about what you do with what you know. Is what you know changing the way that you live? Is it changing the way that you view the world? Is it changing the way that you view your purpose and your calling? Right? Those are some really honest questions that you have to ask yourself. Because if you're getting to know the God of the Bible, and it's not directly changing or impacting your perspective, your priorities, the way you spend your time, your resources, then maybe you don't know the God of the Bible as well as you think you do. Right? And so let me just ask all of us a question this morning. Right? When we teach biblical truths here at Westbridge, how long does it take you to actually do it? Right? When we teach God's word and what the principles of God to be applied to our life here at Westbridge, how long does it take for you to actually put that into practice? Right? When we talk about forgiveness, how quickly do you actually apply it? When we talk about giving God control of our finances or honoring God with giving a tithe and honoring God with our time and our treasure and our talents, how long does it take for us to actually put those things into practice? And when we talk about the rhythm of developing some spiritual disciplines in authentic biblical community as tools that God gives us to live out our faith, let me ask you, how quickly do you actually put it into practice? You see, Jesus is giving us a promise here. He's saying there is this cause and effect principle that is at play in this partnership with God. But one of the easiest ways that we say it at our church all the time is this: it is information plus application that leads to transformation. Right? I'll say it again. Information plus application is what leads to transformation. And friends, make no mistake, transformation is the ultimate goal of this partnership with Jesus. That your heart becomes fully surrendered to the Word of God, and that you begin to experience the fullness of life that comes through a participatory relationship with Him. You see, when you take the step to participate in this relationship with God, all of a sudden you discover peace. Purpose, that your life is anchored on a foundation that holds in the midst of the storm. And Jesus says that when you listen to the word of God, that when you put it into practice, then you will have this firm foundation for the life to come, no matter what it brings you, no matter what comes your way, that when you build your life on the rock, then God helps you build an unshakable life. And so friends, here's my prayer for us today. My prayer is that you will discover life in glorious HD, that you'll begin your partnership with God, that you begin to live in the fullness of life that comes through participating in your relationship with your Creator. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I want you just to bow your head, and I just want to pray for you guys. I'm going to ask you to just take an honest moment in your heart and just evaluate what your faith looks like. If you feel like analog, grayscale are adjectives that describe your spiritual walk with God, I want you to just take a moment and talk with Him and just invite God in to reveal Himself in brand new ways and begin to take your step in partnering with God. If you feel like you're living in vibrant color, then continue to share that love and that life with those around you. Let me pray for you today. Father, meet us right where we're at today. God, my prayer for all of us as a family is that you would show us the side of you that our hearts are longing for the most. God, may we walk with you through life's storms and through those mountaintop moments. May we apply your word and truth to our life. God, for those who maybe are here today and they're just beginning this relationship journey, they don't even know where they stand with God yet. Just pray that they would know this is a really safe place to ask questions and to process their faith so that they can begin to realize that there is more than what they've been settling for available through life with you. Maybe for those of us who've placed our faith in Christ, may we begin to dive into this book, experience the promises of God where you say, when you do this, then I will do this. Help us to hear your word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.